We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Howdy, guys. Welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Thursday, April 24th, and there's a storm brewing, both figuratively and quite literally outside. Big storm line coming through the area. So if there's a sudden stoppage on the podcast, if there's some other issues, we will continue this as time goes. But I'm Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
I'm Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015. I am effing fired up, man.
Oh, I am too. I mean, it's the series of the year. We've been looking forward to this. I can't wait for Columbia Penn. I'm so pumped.
Dude, I'm still waffling. I'm still waffling, man.
I know, man. I've been back and forth all day on who I really think. I think it's going to be a split series regardless, but one of the two is going to get it. And on top of that, we know Wyatt Hensler and Hayden Schott, regardless, are going to be at each other's throats for the rest of the weekend. But we got plenty to get into past that. So
I feel like I got to go with the Quakers, man.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they're going to go 2-for-3 on the weekend. I think it's going to be split, but I think Quakers are going to pull it out. They just looked so darn good this year. Well, this was the Red Ass Podcast, guys. Take care and hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, all right. Sweet. Yeah, meet all it, everybody. So what is the Columbia mascot? Lions? Lions? Tigers?
Lions. Yeah, not Bears. Oh, my.
Oh, my. All right, well, then let's just do this the most logical way possible.
Yeah, Lion versus a Quaker. Who's winning that fight?
The Quaker won't even fight.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go Columbia.
Right. I guess it's Columbia. Book it. Book it. Go to DraftKings.com/... Oh, wait. bro, if we were sponsored like that... I'm a company man. I'll say it all day.
Yes, but, sir. Absolutely.
Yeah, so, you know, a ton going on at Aggie Land right now. Excuse me. Golf is winding up its season between conference and national championship kind of stuff. Tournament getting seeded. The women are going to Lubbock, I believe, where Texas is a one seed. But Texas golf has always been good. Right? It's just one of those. You've got the transfer portal and everything with basketball occurring, where Bucky McMillan is not only adding pieces to the portal, like he's filling the roster, and he's not, I'll say this, you know, your first thought is almost leans back towards like the women's team, like just fill a roster, like start there. But the pieces he's added have been very, not every single one of them are like everybody in the country wanted them, but I'm glad that he's got somebody coming from Samford who understands Buckyball, but he's made some big pickups, right?
Yep.
The kid from Indiana.
Yep.
Joni Taylor has added three portal additions. She just added another one. And so basketball, their season right now is recruiting. It's recruiting season for them, right?
Right.
The portal for women's basketball, and I would guess it's probably the same for men's basketball, maybe a week difference. The women's basketball portal is closed. That doesn't mean they can't go places. It means they had to be in the portal.
Right.
So for those that don't understand that, like, they can still go other places.
Yeah.
The end of the portal deadline has to do with you getting your name in it. Some big names out there. Unfortunately, a lot of them are SEC undergrads. So you're not going to find, you're not going to get those guys. You're just not going to, or girls for that matter, because they're not going to sit a year. So you're looking, if it's within conference, you're obviously looking for grad transfers. But if it's out of conference, it's open game, man.
Yeah, fair game. So it's
Joni active in the portal. You know, I think there have unfortunately been questions about recruiting with the women's program during her tenure, which I thought when she got hired, recruiting would be amazing because her involvement with USA Basketball.
Right.
But I feel now, in hindsight, it seems like maybe USA Basketball takes a little more time than we would like away from the Aggie program.
Potentially.
But I think she's starting to understand that she better put up or shut up kind of thing. Like, you can't finish last in conference. That's not what we do. But Buckyball, the era of Buckyball is in full swing, and I've got to be honest, I'm pretty much at complete 100% buy-in at this point. Like 110%.
Well, I love the fact that we have seen him on campus across everywhere. I mean, he is constantly showing up to other sporting events. He's being very supportive. And honestly, I think the camaraderie amongst the athletic department has probably been higher than I've ever seen it amongst the coaches. It's been amazing to see.
Well, Bucky's on his PR tour, and we all understand
Right.
that, right? Even though basketball, isn't the favorite sport here. In fact, I would say it's the third favorite
Yeah.
when it comes to sports. But he's got to go on the PR tour. We got to introduce him. We got to get some hype around it, right? We got to get some hype around the students and the fan base. But everything I've seen from him has been very genuine, which is like to start with. I'm real big on that. It's coach speak only in the sense that it's how he speaks as a coach. He speaks differently than what we've had, you know.
Right.
He's made some fantastic staff additions on top of the portal, bringing in I can't remember his first name, Haith, bringing in Haith, and then he just official press release came out. He brought his basically like GM pretty much from Samford,
Yeah.
and so I have no expectations win loss wise with basketball next year. I'll just be pleasantly surprised to see like his version of basketball, quite frankly. I think it'll work. It's worked everywhere he's been. There's no reason to think it won't work here. It just may not work great next year until he can fully get in and recruit and all that other obviously other stuff that comes with a coaching change transition in the middle of the recruiting time and you're playing kind of catch up and.
Well,
But
there's always going to be growing pains whenever you come in as a first time coach. I mean, yeah, you're going to bring in some good dudes. I mean, but there's going to be some struggle getting the lineup all put together and making sure everybody's gelling, right? I mean, that's just part of the deal. But I mean, I like what he's done so far in terms of going into the portal, getting good guys. And I mean, he said all the right stuff, right? He's not here to play games. He's not out here playing puffy, feel good stuff. He's here to win. And he's here to do it his way, which I'm about it.
Well, I feel like what could be really fun is next year when he puts kind of this like hodgepodge roster together. If they
Yeah.
all buy into Bucky Ball, it's one of those like scrappy, group of five or scrappy like random conference teams that
Yeah.
makes the. I'm not saying we're making the tournament by any means, but it's like one of those scrappy teams that nobody wants to play. Like they're a total pain in the ass.
Right.
They press, they shoot, they run, and so. But yeah, so all in on that, but. We can well let's touch on the spring game right quick. Did you get a chance to watch it?
I caught some highlights. We were obviously off, had bigger things going on this weekend with Easter and whatnot, but still, from what I had heard, I mean, apparently we looked pretty good in the wide receiver core. Defensive line apparently was pretty on top of it. Marcel Reed, apparently as far as the passing game, I don't know much on that, but yeah, feel free to highlight that for me.
Yeah, so I actually watched the game, and there were a lot of offensive linemen out. So there's only so many things you can glean from a spring game when the offense, like the number one, the ones on the defensive line and the front seven aren't going against the ones on the offensive side, right? And not that anybody is any sort of drastic hurt. It's just one of those, there's no reason to do it kind of things, which I'm fine with. It's a spring game. And to me, priority number one in a spring game is everybody comes out healthy.
Yeah, no injuries.
So. That's absolutely priority number one, which is why I understand why some programs are basically saying we're not doing this. Why would we do this? This is insane. But Marcel behind a hodgepodge, just kind of thrown together offensive line, and they did a lot of offensive line rotation too. So it was very rarely was there any continuity. So you kind of have to take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
I did like what I saw out of Craver and Concepcion. The two additions. I liked the utilization of the tight end. Big fan of that. You got them, please
Yes.
use them. Running it again, you're not really trying to blow people up or bring people to the ground. There's an understanding in a spring game. It's almost like NFL preseason. Kicking looked good. Kicking looked really good.
Yeah.
Above, like punting and place kicking looked really good. We had a handful of dudes that can. Just absolutely destroy the ball at the kick and field goals. Linebackers look good. Secondary looked fun. So it's again, I don't put a whole lot of stock in spring games to
Right.
begin with. And so, but from what we saw, I liked it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
I think honestly, the bright spot and it was not shocking by any means, but maybe just a little surprising. Miles O'Neil looked really good. Like, he
Yeah.
looked really good. He needs to put on some weight, but he looked good. That like true freshman who reclassified, so like he basically should still be sitting in calculus right now at his high school.
Yeah.
He was there were some bright flashes from that kid too. You want to say, I need to put on some weight though. Like that kid's like 17 and not on the verge
He's
of
a
18.
right.
And so I did see some real bright spots from the quarterbacks. I was really happy with that. But again, spring game, whatever. Let's get down to brass tacks.
Let's get down to brass tacks. First and foremost, softball.
Yep, start with softball.
Let's start with
Softball's
softball.
got the last home series of the year. Bringing in Arkansas.
Yep. Top 10 Arkansas coming into town. And it's always high flying death defying whenever the Hogs are in. Doesn't matter the sport, it's always entertaining. So women are coming off of a tight weekend. A couple of scares as well as a loss, but you go on the road in the SEC and you win, which is what you're supposed to do, and you turn around and run rule Louisiana pretty cleanly, right? So you're sitting here feeling pretty good back in your own ballpark, and what's the expectation? Win the series.
The expectation is win the series. Arkansas ranked at number 9, just depending on which poll you look at. There's so many polls these days,
Right.
but it's like you said, it's a top 10 matchup. You just got to win the series. They've unfortunately been dealing with a little bit of injury bug in the circle, but again, in softball, with a great number one, you don't need a ton other. I thought Lessantine did all right. I think Emily Levitt is she did all right. There's a oh my God, her name escapes me. There's another freshman pitcher that has come on strong. There's dark hair. She's come on really strong. I've been really happy with how she's progressed. So you've got other arms that you can throw in the circle, but man, you started talking about Maya Perez and Mac Barber with the power and Coco Woolley and I think and I like Allie Enright is such a core part of this team. I love what Kramer Esche does in the field. And at the plate too. Like, I mean, some of these girls will go 0 for 3 in a game and their average drops to 447. It's just bonkers what some of these girls are hitting. And then you add in a freshman like KK Dement with just absolute ridiculously good. And so this is a series. It's a top 10 matchup, but we're number 2 and we could be number 1. It's you're splitting hairs at that point. So this is a series that if you really want to make a statement, I don't care if you run rule them, sweep the series. I don't care if it's 3 1-run games. If you can sweep this series, you will have all of the confidence in the world heading into next weekend going to Knoxville against what will be either the number one or number two team in the country. And so you want to talk about a powerhouse showdown, but I get it. We get Arkansas first. I get it. But you get them at home. They're gonna have what senior day, obviously, will occur. So just what a great opportunity for them to truly put a stamp on this season, on the regular season, before they go try and put a bow on it in Knoxville.
Yeah, and on top of that, with this being, the last home weekend, senior days, all that fun stuff, let's go out there and support the ladies and be sure to be nice in attendance, sell this place out for them because they've absolutely earned it. Anybody who's been paying attention to this softball team and what Tricia Ford's been able to build here, you need to go out here and support them now. But on the plus side, where you're currently positioned, regionals are a thing, right? And we're gonna, we're in the hosting place.
Well, it's not just hosting. They have all but locked up a national seed. And that's really where we're at now. It's not hosting, it's hosting all the way, right? Until Oklahoma City.
Which is
So
amazing.
really probably all they need to do is win one of these series.
Yeah, and take care of
You
business
win one
against
of these
Arkansas.
series, I don't think it'll matter what happens in the other. As long as you don't get swept and run ruled in 3 straight games,
Which,
which ain't gonna happen to this team.
yeah, I don't anticipate that taking place, and you certainly don't, right?
Oh gosh, no. The offensive firepower is through the roof. If you're going to the series this weekend, though, let's see, what is it? Yeah, Friday night's postgame fireworks, and then Sunday will be senior day. So
Yes.
if you're trying to go to the series, depending on what you want to do, but they have not disappointed this year, man. It's so fun to it's been so fun to follow this program, honestly, since I was in school.
Oh yeah. No, they were great back then, and they're great now.
Yeah, and such great girls, and such a great program, and some really cool jerseys and helmets, I might add.
Yeah, I'm about to say Adidas has done us some good recently. I'm not gonna lie, and that's been true, just as the uniform guy on this podcast across our athletic department. The uniformity that we've come into, what we've been able to build with scripts on everything, I love it. It's even worked its way into football. Like the all black with the script helmets, top notch. About the only thing we're missing is a black jersey for baseball. And when I talked to the equipment people earlier this season, they didn't have time to really lock that in, but it's coming next season. So we will
Nice.
see a return of a black uniform of some form next season. I pray we use it for sweeps because I think that's such a cool idea. Doing all black for a sweep, I think that's always a neat deal. But I like what we're seeing in that front. But I mean, it's just an awesome opportunity to go out to that ballpark and see high quality softball in a great ballpark.
Great venue. One of the best in the
Right.
nation. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It's one of the best in the nation. The one thing I will say Adidas does need to step their game up on, their shoe game lately has been shitty.
Yeah, it's not great. But I mean,
Right.
uniforms are fine, right? But
Yes.
if we could lock in on the shoe front, I mean, the fact that Texas A&M is more or less top billing for Adidas these days, as far as an athletic department, I'm okay with waving the banner as a top level Adidas school as opposed to being another Nike school, right? Because you'll never be above it, like half of the teams in Nike.
It's that three-stripe life, baby. Oh,
Yeah.
check
Yeah.
it out. Yeah.
About to say
Even
three stripe life. Liverpool's going back to three stripes, brother.
my US Open shirt. What's up?
Yo. Oh,
But
quick sidebar. 1 point, baby. 1 point away. All we
that's
have to do is draw Tottenham on Sunday. And you know what? I bet Tottenham would be way okay with it because, screw Arsenal, right?
yeah, that I mean, Tottenham's like us, they're not doing anything this
No.
year.
I
But
mean, you're not exactly in relegation trouble, really, either, so that's nice.
no, I think we need like one win and it'll pretty much shut out Ipswich.
Yeah.
But yeah, so great opportunity for softball girls. If you can, and there's tickets available, which was a problem the other weekend, but there's tickets available, get out there. Davis is a fantastic venue if you haven't been. Softball games are fun. They're fast too. Like
Oh,
it's
yeah.
you're not gonna spend 5 hours out of the diamond. But that brings us to the other diamond, which and let's track back to Tuesday, right?
Well, let's try back to the weekend.
Well, yeah, we can track back to the weekend, but the midweek stuff, just real quick, softball and baseball literally doing what you absolutely expect them to do. So
Take care of
that was
business.
great to see. Like you don't have the letdown kind of in the midweek kind of thing.
Right. Especially after you come off of a loss for softball, right? Maybe you kind of slug it out on a Tuesday. No, you went in there and you smoked them. And then baseball does the exact same thing against Sam, right? That's exactly what you want to see.
Well, that's what championship caliber programs do, right? Or teams. I mean, that's what they do. So, if you want to go ahead and start up with the baseball from the weekend.
Sure. So Texas A&M goes on the road to Arkansas, number two Arkansas, let me stress. Once again, another tough road series. You go back to back with number one, take that series, and then your next road series, all of a sudden you're at Bomb Walker, which we had not won a series at since 2016, and we all remember 2016. I mean, that was a big year for us, and that was a tough series. But that was our first road win at Arkansas since joining the SEC. And then we turn around this past weekend and largely take care of business. Yeah, you lose game two of the doubleheader, but in a doubleheader situation, a split is normally pretty acceptable. So when you take game one and you did it, with authority and honestly shutting them down the way you did in game three, and just a quick shout out, Jace LaViolette absolutely had himself a weekend over there at Bomb Walker. They're going to be singing his they're going to be singing about him up there in Hogville for years to come. But
Yeah,
I
it
mean,
was well, and they're good baseball fans too.
they
Oddly enough,
are.
like Arkansas sports fans in general are terrible. But
Baseball fans are good.
their baseball fans are really good. Baum Walker is one of the gems of the SEC, which means it's one of the gems of the nation.
I mean, better
They've
than
got
a ton of AAA parks, I would say. It's a phenomenal ballpark.
They've got a great program. Arkansas baseball is just consistently good. There's no other way to put it.
But they're always top 10 preseason, right? I mean, they're just so good.
And so to be able to go in there and perform how we did and what is now it's almost and if we were playing any other top 10 team this weekend, it would be a pressure pack situation, right? And they just keep building and they keep building, and this team just seems like they're getting looser and looser and looser as the pressure builds, which is what you have to do and what you absolutely like love to see is they've got to find a way to continue to be light. And we opened with the Columbia Penn thing, and I mentioned it this morning on Tex Eggs. It's just it's fun to see them having fun again, because earlier in the season when we were playing like dog shit, like there wasn't any of this. No fun go golf, no fun tweets, no anything. And I think that really kind of goes directly into what we talked about is once you get down, you start pressing and you actually make it worse. And like you're not having fun, and all of a sudden like they're firing off posts on X and Instagram and having a good time, and the green jacket and the putter and all this stuff, and you're like, man, the best teams we've seen at A&M have had some kind of stupid shtick. Let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you go, you go back. I mean, hell, let's look at 2017, right? We had the Rally Pickles, right? Then you had the Pringles, and then you've had,
Pringles. The bubbles was a shtick when it first started. That
in
was a
15.
shtick.
Yeah. It was an absolute shtick. I would say that was like one of the first like permanent shticks that ever really kind of got locked in. And I love the fact that it all started with a couple of players that bought a bubble machine at Walmart and started sticking it out of the dugout when we were hitting home runs. Then it turned into every run that we would score in the ballpark, and now it's largely considered one of the better traditions in college baseball. It's, and that all happened within the last 10 years.
And it's bled over to Davis Diamond. Like everybody's got bubble gum
I love
to
it.
Davis too.
I absolutely love it. I love the blending of culture on the campus. I think it's really neat. But we're rolling into what is now another really big series, of course. I mean, you're coming in to another hostile environment on the road, and it just so happens to be against a team that ran off with our coach last season. It is high stakes this weekend. As much as, I love that the players are having fun, and I love that everybody's feeling good, but at the same time, there's that looming thing in the back of everybody's head, like, oh God, you really want to win this series just for the I told you so's, just so you can poke at people. That's the beauty of rivalry. But you took what this rivalry was before. I mean, let's just look at baseball for a minute. I remember years ago, especially like, 2015, 2016, when we had kind of cooled off on playing Texas, our rival had become TCU, right? And that just so happened to be Jim Schlossnagle. And we struggled against those guys for three straight seasons. You end up losing the series in dramatic fashion in 2015. You try to get revenge in 16, nothing comes of it. 17, you have a shot to get them at Blue Bell, I mean, over at Minute Maid Park, only for it to get another walk-off situation. And then they knock you out of the tournament. You hire that guy. He comes here. You think you've exorcised those demons. You take down TCU in the postseason. Everything's feeling great and good. You get this coach that takes you all the way to the promised land. You are within a run to win the series. And this guy has the gall, the nerve to already have something else figured out in his back pocket. As far back as April, that's confirmed. We actually have the information now. And all of a sudden, you look at your players on this team. You look at Texas A&M, and you just feel gutted for them because they had to slug it out against the best competition in the country without the support of their coach. He runs off. Early comes back. And here we are. Chance for revenge.
Well, and I hope they're not looking at it as revenge,
I
unless
hope
that's
not
what
either.
specifically fuels them, then that's fine. It's one of those where you hope they don't start pressing because they just want to win.
Exactly.
But it's added a layer to this to where obviously we want to beat Texas. I mean, that's, I don't think the student athletes understand as much as us, the former students, and especially the older ones, what it means to beat Texas. But they still want to do it. Generally in every sport, they've got friends on the other side, they played with growing up kind of thing. But this is almost not Texas A&M versus TU. This is Texas A&M versus Jim Schlossnagel. I
It
mean,
is.
that's, and the SEC front office are complete cowards for not putting this at Olsen. Like,
Which it
complete
should have
cowards.
been, based on the rotation, it should have been here this year, but.
Just complete. Well, they've been cowards for every freaking schedule for them so far. It's, I'm not going to go down this road going on a sip rant, but it's, this should have been at Olsen, straight up. Like, there's no excuse for this not to be at Olsen. And so, this is a series where it's the number one team in the country, right? So when you go on the road, what do you avoid? Getting swept. So if we go 1-2,
It's an acceptable outcome.
as far as our season goes, it's great. As far as every Aggie is concerned, it's a failure. Like, you have to walk into that cesspool and you have to win the series. And if you sweep the series, we will be some of the most insufferable people, literally, until we have to face them again. It's like, I cannot begin to tell you how insufferable I will be if we go in and sweep Texas. Because with the way we've been playing, that's not the most insane statement, is that we're going to go to Austin and sweep. Like, it's, if you've watched Aggie baseball over the past month and a half, you understand that this team is capable of kind of just about anything.
A&M has turned into giant killers this season. We went from preseason number
Giant.
one. You go from preseason number one to vastly below your expectation. Everybody just writing you off by the time the Kentucky series was over. By the time you played that game against that first game against Tennessee, everybody wrote you off. You turn around, you win that Tennessee series, and everybody's like, okay, was that a fluke or what happened? You win. And not just win, you sweep South Carolina at home. Everybody's like, okay, what's going on here? Let's see if this is a trend. And then you
Yeah,
go on.
that was the one where, like, the gopher poked his head out of the hole. He's like, wait, what?
You've won two series in a row. All right, cool. See what happens next. You go on the road to number two. Yeah, lightning and thunder coming in, baby.
I just, no, my lights just flashed.
That's what I'm saying. But you get number, it's like all of a sudden you get number two on the road, a team that already doesn't like you. A school that despises you across all athletic departments, and you take that series on the road. So now, here you are. It's this weekend. And I pray that the boys are staying as loose as they seem to be on Twitter because they are having so much fun.
Well, and that's my biggest thing is, like, again, when these guys have been the best, it's when they've been the loosest. Like, you can tell, it's almost like, and again, I talked about it, like, being drug dealers or like drug addicts or whatever. But the reality is, it's almost like they went into that doubleheader against Tennessee and said, dude, what do we have to lose at this point? Like, seriously, what do we have to lose? And they just, and since then, like, did Tennessee beat the bat out of us? It's been completely insane, and it's been so fun to watch. And so this is what, like, get the series on the road. Hey, dude, a sweep would be, my family members are not prepared for if we were to sweep them. But yeah, I know I'm getting a couple flashes here. But they're not prepared. But look at us. Oh. All right, my apologies. We had to take a quick break. We didn't lose power, but the wind started coming in at a rate that I had to go secure a lot of things outside. So yeah, it's apparently, well, and according to the weatherman, this guy,
This guy.
this that guy, yeah, we're about to get slammed. So, and quite frankly, it's so dark outside, I believe it. But yeah, so going back to the series. It has this feel of, it's almost, the rivalry is almost secondary to like the mutiny.
Right. I mean,
Like,
in reality, like you mentioned it before, it's kind of Texas A&M versus Jim Schlossnagle more than anything, right? Which, like, and this all goes back, if we're being completely honest, this goes all the way back to 2012. I mean, looking back at that particular series, I mean, we hosted, regionals here, and we got knocked out of our home regional by TCU. And that was largely the first kind of instance of this, and it has only gotten worse with him as time's gone on,
well, I think probably the biggest thing is it's not that it's got worse with him. I mean, if you can't beat him, join him kind of thing. That's why we hired him, right?
No, sure.
But it's always going to go back to the manner in which he left. For him to blow up Richard Zane at the press conference and then basically turn around and prove himself a liar. A bold face, liar, liar, pants on fire, nose as long as a telephone wire. Like, just an absolute piece of shit, right? And all these stories coming out, how much weight do you put in them? You've heard them for, I mean, did we put up with, I don't know. All the personal stuff, I'm not even bringing the personal crap into it. I'm not. The reality is, he's a, just a bold-faced liar. And when you lose your integrity, like, of all the things you can lose, the integrity, like, your integrity is the hardest to get back with anyone. And so for him to basically just prove himself a total piece of crap in national media, I might add, because we had just lost an entire World Series by one run.
And you didn't even give your boys a chance to celebrate the season they had. You had to steal the spotlight for yourself.
And you tried to steal some of the boys,
And
and
you
you
did.
did. You took some with you. Now, I will say, I think Max Wiener probably took more with him than Schlossnagle, right? But this is like, I hope that the players don't think it's about them versus him. I hope the players, and obviously, we've seen them play. They're playing great. They're playing loose. Hopefully they don't press because they want to beat him.
Right.
But I hope they beat him. And I hope, and I, if we win one game of the series, I hope it's the last one so they can horns down him all day long. And honestly, I bet I can find enough Aggs to pay the fine if somebody, one of the players walked over to the dugout and just shot the bird at him.
Yeah, I mean, the reality of the situation is,
It's betrayal.
it
It's
was
betrayal.
absolutely. It was absolute betrayal. And where we stand now, I know a lot of people have said, I really hope we just kind of stand on business. We don't even give them the time of day. But I think this particular series has earned a little bit. It wouldn't shock me. It legitimately would not shock me. Couple of thrown at batters, couple of ejections, couple of scuffles trying to get out of the dugout. Could be a number of things. I don't know. But fact is, we've seen the vitriol of this series in the past couple of seasons, even without Jim Schlossnagle there. I mean, heck, after we won in the regional, I mean, you saw Teddy Burton, you saw Gavin Grechovac. I mean, they were aggressively getting after him for it because they were, I mean, they don't like them, right? Like, our boys do not like Texas for good reason. I understand. It's the rivalry. There's a lot of beef there. It's just you've put another sirloin on top of that beef for us to eat.
Well, and that's my biggest thing. Like, there's so much depth to this rivalry, obviously, right?
Right.
And it's and to add this layer of it, and it's not just like a layer. It's like a seven layer dip on top of a wedding cake on top of shit. I ratatouille. I don't fucking know. But the reality is, this isn't adding fuel to the fire. This is like adding more hydrogen to the Hindenburg. All
Yeah.
right. Like,
Gasoline in there. Let's just keep going in, man.
this rivalry is already heated enough. We've seen it because we've had to play the midweek games with them. Because we weren't in the same conference, because everywhere Texas goes, they destroy conferences, which, hopefully they have like a Southeast East conference, maybe that we can start up and leave them. But it's everything this rivalry is supposed to be. And now we have this, like literally, it would be like the Hindenburg disaster, but attach like daisy chain two more Hindenburgs to it and see if we can't like just blow all three up. And it's like, this is, if it's not Chernobyl, but it's going to be Chernobyl for a fan base once it's all done.
Oh, no doubt. Regardless of the result, yeah.
But that's the difference. Either we're in the fallout and we're all ruined and we become the basis for a lot of horror movies and investigations and we just get absolutely dumped on, or we're the dude that goes, tee-hee-hee, I turned the reactor up too high, eat it. So that's the, like, those are the two outcomes of this weekend, because it's the rivalry, the sibling, the family, everything that's built in to the rivalry with A&M in Texas. It is one of the greatest rivalries in all sports, and I will admit that there are some great rivalries in sports that aren't Texas A&M in Texas.
No doubt.
Absolutely. Army Navy, Michigan Iowa State, USC, well, USC, or probably USC Notre Dame, right?
Sure.
Harvard Yale. Like, those nerds hate each other.
They do.
But this is just way different, man. And so to add in this extra just beef, right?
Beef.
Man, I am so excited for this series. And if it doesn't go our way, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, because let's face it, we're not supposed to win this series, right? I mean, if you look at it on paper, I mean, this is number
Or
one.
Arkansas, or
Right.
Arkansas, or South Carolina.
Right. Well, this adds an extra wrinkle. I was curious what your thought process was. Official news out of Texas that Jared Spencer, the ace, he's out.
That's tough for them.
It
And
is.
well, and I'm going to preface this very quickly. At no point do I ever wish injury on any athlete,
Absolutely not.
except for maybe Draymond Green. He's such a piece of shit. But like, seriously, you there's it's like the dude that like beats his wife and then like takes her to civil court because he broke his knuckles. Like, that's Draymond Green.
Right.
But I'm sorry for the kid. It sucks.
It does.
It sucks that he doesn't get to play, and we may not be highly ranked by any means, or ranked at all for the matter,
Yeah.
but it sucks that he doesn't get to face off and play. But one of my favorite things, I know you might guys might have heard that thunder by me. One of my favorite things is people are like, I want to play with their best. I don't.
Well, and here's the
I
reality.
hope they all eat like gas station sushi. All right, like,
And here's the deal. At no point can a Texas fan turn around and take this and use it as a crutch in case they lose the series because, I mean, Gavin Grechovac's out. Shane Sadeo's out. I mean,
case two.
yeah. I mean, how many other injuries have we had? Like, how many other people have we had out? It's just the sport. It sucks that it's a starting pitcher. It sucks that it's your ace. But I was looking at the rest of your lineup. You have three pitchers that are all in the threes as far as ERA compared to R4s. You are still holding the advantage.
Yeah,
It's at your ballpark, man.
there will be no if, idas, or but maybes. There will be
Absolutely
none
not.
of that crap after this series, one way or the other. We're not going to complain about injuries at
No.
all. Well, if we had grow up, you're never going to hear us say that, but for a fact, because of years of experience, they excel at that. And so my biggest thing is, like, go in there, play the baseball you've been playing
Yes.
since Tennessee took you behind the woodshed, right? Since that point in time in the timeline, go out there and play what you're capable of playing, and play how you're, again, we've said this, playing like the team we all expected you to be all year long. And the chips are going to fall as they may. And, does Schloss get the best of us again? Who knows, man? Who knows? But if you go in and win one, like, there are four outcomes and three of them are acceptable.
Yeah, just don't get swept, right?
Don't get swept. If you win one, we can deal with this, right? You won one on the road against the number one team in the country. right? Take out the fact that it's Texas. It's just the number one team in the country.
Correct.
Two. You win two, you win the series.
Which is always nice.
You win the series on the road. I don't care who it is. It's the SEC.
Yeah, it's what you want.
And then the fourth outcome, you win all three against your hated rival, right? And against a coach that you'd like to basically strap to a rocket and send to the moon without an oxygen mask. And so I think it speaks. And I'm going to go back to this. I hope they don't press because the guys that stayed here believed in early, right?
They do.
And they have, oh my, and that's getting close.
Yes, it is.
And they have believed in early throughout this. And I think it was today he was on TexEx talking. And it's just, there is a grind they understand they have to have. And I get that. But they've stuck with the grind and they literally kind of leaned into it. Like you lean into the suck, man. It's like, just like embrace the suck. That's something we used to love to say in the army. And like you embrace the suck and it goes back. And I don't want to pin this term on this team because these are different teams. But it goes back to that Jocko good thing. Like, didn't get the promotion, good. Not winning games, good. How can I get better? Not fielding well, good. How can I get better? And this team, while they haven't, like, they're not all wearing those hats and doing all that, they have that mentality this year of just got run ruled and
Good.
shut out. Good. What can we do? You know what we can do? We can go out tomorrow on a doubleheader and just play baseball. Let's have some fun. Okay. Oh, well, oh shit. You just beat Tennessee twice, and you won the series. And then you've seen this like continue to go. And it's like this most positive outlook in what has been an incredibly negative situation since Minute Maid, right? Or Daikin or the juice box.
A juice box.
The juice box. So to see them playing the way they are, seeing them on social media, being back to the team that we remember playing Fungo Golf every Monday morning, and Hayden Schott just firing off some of the most insanely stupid and hilarious posts.
He's having
Like,
fun.
to see that again is for us to have confidence in the sense that they know exactly what they're getting into this weekend. And they understand who the coach is, but they chose to play for Michael Early as opposed to Jim Schlossnagel, who, if I were a betting man, has a bigger NIL war chest than Michael Early does. But they chose to stay here. They chose to stay loyal to Texas A&M, and they chose to stay loyal to Michael Early. And maybe not in that order, and that's fine. But this is where the rubber meets the road this weekend, man. Like, for everything that went on from what 24 hours basically after the World Series ended, pretty much everything that's gone on, everything they put, all the work they put in everything. This isn't your Omaha. This isn't, the SEC. This isn't in Hoover, but this is everything you've done since that Tennessee debacle, first game debacle. Everything you've built, all the momentum, all the cohesion, everything. It has led up, unfortunately, whether you like to admit it or not, to this moment, this series. And it is so important for them to prove to themselves that the decision that they made to stay at Texas A&M with Coach Mike Early was the correct decision.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think that's absolutely correct. So, big weekend. Big
Sorry,
weekend coming
you
up.
know me, I rant.
Hey, you know what? And that's a great rant to go ahead and roll that on. So, really looking forward to this weekend. Obviously, hoping for the best, praying for the worst. It's going to be fine. We're going to go out there and do what we do, man. Yeah, and have fun.
Also, go Stars.
Go Stars.
You've got to quit with the overtime crap. They're killing my sleep. Two, I don't watch the NBA at all, but back in the day I did. I'm a big Rockets fan. And Hakeem Olajuwon, come on, how can you not be, right? Yeah, I've seen the Rockets win a championship. That's how old I am. But if the Rockets are in the playoffs, I will watch the NBA. Therefore, yeah, might have had something to do with my comment about Draymond Green earlier. But right, I just, dude, Wyatt, I am rolling. Like, great series the weekend before, run rule during the week. Stars are up 2-1. If they could do it in three periods, that'd be great. The Rockets have evened the series up against the Warriors. Like, maybe the weather is what's offsetting my happiness.
That
And
ain't
if
good.
that, and the best part is the weather doesn't know it. My yard needs the rain. Bring
Yep,
it.
mine does too.
I've secured everything that can fly away outside. I mean, unless a tornado comes and I didn't tie my truck down.
We're gonna be fine. I'm not too worried about tornadoes. So we're
We're
golden
getting
on
national.
that front. We're
I'm
golden
getting
on that
absolutely
front.
dumped on right now, and all I can think about is how happy I am for my grass. I'm so old.
That's what you do. You start getting proud of your lawn, right?
Hey, Dick, well, when you become a homeowner,
Oh
and
yeah.
and you can be a young, well, it's difficult, but you can be a young homeowner, and all of a sudden you're like, you start caring about your yard.
Yeah, because I mean,
Because,
yeah, gotta look good.
yeah, you care about the image of your home. You ain't parking a 72 Chevette out front up on blocks. May as well mow.
It's just
So
it's nice steady rain out there right now. I'm loving every minute of it.
yeah, we'll call it steady here, a steady downpour. We get any questions?
We actually do have a handful, so get ready for this. So Jonna,
All
first and
right.
foremost, she wanted to talk NIL stuff. I think for the amount of questions I had, I'm gonna hold off on that. But she did ask thoughts on baseball, softball playoffs. I'm assuming that's just where you think we might end up, how it's looking. If I obviously I've we already talked softball. I think national seed's pretty much locked up outside of us just completely shitting the bed over the next two series.
It would be an epic collapse to not be one of the top eight.
Right. So not really worried about that. You're already up top eight, you're in secured position, just get to OKC, right? Baseball. There's been some speculation. A&M has moved up to a two seed, and a lot of the different polls have kind of positioned us in different places. One of which was having us go to the TCU Fort Worth Regional
And
as
pair
a
up with the Austin Super.
pair up with the Austin Super, which,
So
that
predictable.
completely predictable because the NCAA loves money, and A&M Texas is money. They know it. They're not stupid, but there was another one that came along, and it had us going to Corvallis as the two seed, and it was going to be us, Oregon State, and I think Cal Poly and somebody else. And I was like, give me that regional all day. But
Yes,
in
I will
this,
stay up late to watch those games.
right now, here's the funny thing though. In this particular poll, if that maintained, they had West Virginia as the 16 seed. Let's just say we get thrown to the West Virginia Morgantown
Super.
Regional. I have memories from
We've had some
2019.
success there. We've had some success in Morgantown.
Oh, I don't think West Virginia wants us anywhere near that ballpark. I know like none of those players are on this team at this point, but the memories remain.
Who was it that hit it?
Oh my God. Oh, Joe, dadgummit. Oh, it's gonna irritate.
Number 15, wasn't he?
Yeah, damn it. Give me one second. You
I
keep
can see his
talking.
face.
I can see his face too. I need this. Hold on.
I tell you what, if for some reason that were to happen, we need to make sure that he has tickets.
Bryce Blom.
Bryce Blom,
Because it was a
yes.
Blom grand slam to win that game. We came down. We were down, what, like 10 to 3?
It was bad.
Crawled back. It's 10-7 going into the ninth. Grand slam to win the game.
What, they only hit one grand slam to win the game? Amateurs.
Amateurs. Get on 2025's level. We needed two and we got it. Get wrecked. Anyway,
Bryce Blom, that's who it was. Yeah,
Bryce
he was a
Blom.
really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to
And his
make sure
mom
that
was great. His mom was so nice.
if all of that were to work out, if there's not a GoFundMe to make sure that he's in the stands in Morgantown, we as a fan base
I
have failed.
failed. Yeah, no, we have to get them in there. I need that. Okay. So, got some more questions from my boys in the group chat. Love this. So, San Antonio Dave. What's up, buddy? Said I'm not a
Oh,
cons Yeah, he said, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but is there any way Blue calls it fair in Austin this weekend? That's the first question.
well, let's break this off real quick because I'm gonna do my best to keep this short. The officiating in the SEC is trash. Pick your sport, pick the name, don't give a shit. They're garbage. I saw this so many times with softball. I've seen it so many times with baseball, seen it so many times with basketball, with football. Like,
Every
it
sport.
is absolutely egregious how bad the officiating is in a conference where it just means more. Does it mean more?
Prove it.
Does it really? So, I would like to think that it'll be called fairly because it'll be shitty both ways. That's
Hopefully.
my opinion on SEC officiating.
Yep, that would be the best possible situation. Not anybody getting any pockets lined in key situations. That's my one thing. Just
Yeah,
need
no fist pumps from the home plate umpire when Texas scored.
right. Oh my, I love that they caught that on camera, by the way.
Classic.
Anyway, next question, is softball success sustainable past this year? Yeah.
Oh gosh, yes. Yeah, so we do have a lot of upperclassmen, and they do have the new AUSL, the new Professional Softball League, which if you didn't see, Emily Kennedy they're doing this, you get a golden ticket, which means you're absolutely guaranteed to get drafted by one of the teams. But there's still a lot, how do I put this? I still think even with a new professional league, there will still be a lot of women that are still leaning towards stay in school, I can always go to the league kind of thing. It's not a I'm hot right now, so I got to go. And so I think and there will probably be a little bit of hesitation, like, is this going to work out? Like, if I go to this, it doesn't work out. And if I skip to my degree, what am I doing? So I think because of its infancy of the professional league, I still think you'll see juniors stay their senior year. But if you look at the freshman talent that Trisha Ford has amassed on this team, this is absolutely, this is sustainable. Somebody said, they're like, what do we have to do to keep Trisha Ford? We said, well, she moves on about every 6 years, like Buzz Williams. So, should be good. But she's never been coaching at a school like this.
Well,
Like,
and
she's
not to
moved on
mention,
because she's progressed in her career. It's not like she jumped from Ohio State to Maryland to Alabama to USC to A&M. She's progressed in her career. Like, she's always taking the upward mobility job. And there's only a handful of jobs out there where there's upward mobility from this program, what we've devoted to facilities and program alone, and the support that she has here. And so I think this is sustainable not only from a player level, but from a coaching level, because her assistant coaches have followed her. So it's almost like they're fine in their positions. If this is their forever job, play really well and we'll get a raise. We love it here. Let's build a monster. Let's build a powerhouse. And when you look at the successful softball coaches across the nation, like the truly elite, successful softball coaches, which I believe Trisha Ford can be here, they don't leave.
No, and you don't really see that much in college softball anyway. You don't see a lot of hop, hop, skip, and jump like you do in other sports. I mean, fact is, we built this ballpark back, several seasons ago with the intention of this needs to be a premier place for college athletics across the athletic department. Because softball's, I mean, our softball stadium, previous. Not great, right? I mean, let's
Oh.
face it. Let's call it what it was. It was borderline high school stadium.
Bottom of the barrel, and they went literally from bottom of the barrel to one of the best facilities in the country.
With the
And
full intention of wanting to attract that success. So you bring in Trisha, and it's here.
the intent is build facilities for the program you expect.
Yes.
And A&M does that. Now, granted, the facilities arms race is slowing down with NIL obviously becoming more important, but this
Right.
was really free, all this stuff. So the reality is nobody's out there trying to build a massive, ridiculous softball facility. So we're probably one of the last bastions of that.
Yeah.
And
It's
maybe Kyle
absolutely.
Field's the same. Now, Olsen is so outdated, you have to. But
It's coming, but
yeah, but and that's in the, it's in the works. But you've got one of the best facilities. You're in the best conference for the sport. Even before Texas and OU came over, you're still in the best conference for the sport, right? And now you've brought in a coach that has been successful, and what she's done with this program from day one, it hasn't been like I need 3 years to build. She has been successful, and so I think what Trisha Ford has built, and assuming that guy that said it, isn't right, I think if she finds enough success, she's not gonna go anywhere. Now, bookmark it. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But
I doubt it.
like you said, softball coaches don't do it like other sports coaches do.
No, and I don't anticipate her going anywhere
I
anytime soon.
mean, look at Joe Evans.
Yeah.
Look at the some of the like if you look at the biggest programs out there, and Don't forget, our softball history is pretty stout. All
Pretty
right.
good. They won national titles.
Yeah, they won national titles. They have a ton of All-Americans. We're going to put some more All-Americans up there this year. I was thinking about that when I was watching the game the other day on TV. It's like 43 All-Americans. I'm like, I wonder how much it costs to change the wrap on the wall to make it 44 for fuck. But
That's
it's,
coming.
yeah, and they're look, they're just they're so good. She's got a great culture and she has great assistant coaches. And to me, in softball, if you look around the country, those staff stay together and they stay in place. We are an absolute, and I get that Pac-12 softball is good, but Arizona State isn't the world beaters. This was a step up higher, and there's not a whole lot of other step ups from here relative to what we've invested in the program and the history of this program. So I think it's absolutely sustainable if you just look up and down the roster.
All right,
That
next
was a really
question.
long answer to say yes.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Yes. All right. Davidson Lamb, our buddy Davidson, he asked a couple of questions as well. He said, "Can you review the impact of Sloss stealing recruits from us this year and next year? Are there any contributions this year?"
So, what's funny is in the world of NIL, Schloss didn't necessarily have to be there for those guys not to be here.
Right.
You know, so it's hard to kind of peg that as to whether or not there'll be impact or not. And but for me, I'm taking a step back and saying, would they have stayed anyways? You know, were they playing enough? Did they feel valued enough? And so the players that went with Schloss at in the world we live in, players are leaving, man. It's
They
part
do.
of it.
And it wouldn't shock me for some of them to take off after this next year if they're not getting the time they think they've earned.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that one's a little harder to peg. The one thing I will say though is any like the players that moved to Texas with him, they're traitors and should be burned at the stake.
All right. Next question I had was, did Elko's unwillingness to allow Jonah Williams to not play two sports cause him to go to Texas, or was he always gone?
I think he was always gone.
That was same.
You know, we're in a world where two sport athletes are, unless it's football and track, right?
Yeah.
Unless it's football and track, and like Ernest Campbell left, well, he's tiny. It's just, you're not a two sport athlete, man. You can be fast all you want to, but you're built to be broken. And yeah, I mean, it's God's honest truth. He runs into one of those defensive tackles from Alabama or Georgia. What's going to happen?
That's funny.
Yeah, you can only be so like your speed can only make up so much for your size.
I
Like
agree.
there comes a point where you are a boy amongst men and it's gonna end poorly. I thought he was always gone. I did. It's just I don't have a problem with it either.
No, I mean, you got to go where you got to go.
Yeah, very rarely do you have somebody like truly successful as a two sport. A-Chain was one of the only ones I can think of. Go back.
Yeah, kind of the exception to the rule. Bo Jackson, of course, but I mean,
Well, no, I'm just trying to think of like at a college level, maybe at A&M. I'm trying to remember who it was played football and basketball, but you're talking years and years ago. It's everything has become so specialized that anytime that you're out of season and not working on your sport, you're falling behind. So, and we saw it with Bryce Foster.
Yeah,
Like the
exactly.
perfect example of it not working, and he's a borderline world class shot putter, and he's a borderline really good center.
Borderline.
But when you try to focus on both, you're gonna just gonna be borderline at both. Like it sucks. I really like Bryce Foster. I liked his family. I the whole story of his, you know, everything was great. But if you're spending too much time at the track, you're not spending enough time doing football stuff, man. And it doesn't matter what you do. Those two sports, the workouts, everything, they don't mesh. They just don't. And so the days of the dual sport athlete pretty much are gone,
Yeah,
quite
the trickle
frankly.
out by for sure.
And especially now that you're talking about between revenue sharing and NIL, if I'm paying you to be a football player, I'm not paying you to run track. Like it's very clear. And
Right.
so a lot of this is going to force the hand of these kids. Who, and I call them kids, soon to be employees and professionals, basically. And that's a whole not, don't get me going down that one.
Okay. So I think Carson, so we did have one more question. It was from our buddy Carson, who's also in the group. And I think he was saying this one kind of as a joke because he ends up saying, the opposite of it, but he said, would you bring back Schloss if it meant winning a championship? Would you rather stick with somebody that has more integrity but doesn't guarantee championships? A silly question, I think. I wouldn't bring him back. But I think in the reality of the situation,
Really want to win a national championship.
I want to win a national championship too, but the reality of the situation is you don't get Schloss here without Del Conte, and you're not ripping him away from Texas, so.
Well, and to me, it's, I mean, this is the integrity versus championship conundrum, right?
What?
Like, would you rather have a piece of crap win hardware, or would you rather have somebody who gets A&M? I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I'd like to have somebody who gets A&M who wins a effing trophy.
Gary Blair, like I said, kind of the exception to the rule, right?
Yep,
Like I said,
absolute exception to the rule.
and see, I would, like I said, I'm with you on that though. It's like we want to win.
Yeah.
It's a, we want to win, right? I mean that's at the end of the day when you're a national, like that's all that really matters when it comes to your athletic department. People are more worried about your national titles.
I've got an answer.
Okay.
Why bring him back? He didn't win it when he had the chance. Huzzow! Why
Well,
bring him back? He didn't win.
like I said, if I'm being completely intellectually honest, I don't think Jim Schlossnagle ever wins a national title because the baseball gods are going to frown on him. He might get close, but the reality is, here's the deal. What has he
You
done?
said intellectual, and then you said baseball gods. I'm dying
That's my
over
point. But like I said, I'm not being intellectual at all. What I'm saying is, let's look back at it, right? He was at TCU. Never got particularly close. I mean, he was always in that game right before the championship, but he couldn't get there. He gets
He had
here,
some
and
teams too.
what? He had a shot with us, and he was already out the door. And I think that's going to hang over his head for the rest of his career. I think that's going to be the closest he'll ever win to a national title.
I
I'm
hope
just
it
telling you.
is. I truly hope it is.
I think Tony Vitello being the guy that prevented you from ever winning a national title, and that's the closest you ever get, would be just sweet. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's gonna suck if we start losing these series to Texas. I mean, it very well could happen. They're number one this year, and they're not going away. We're gonna see them every season. He's not going away. But
The beauty
if
of rivalries is beauty of rivalries is going to be a goldfish. I don't care what happened last year.
right, I don't care what happened last year. The fact is, if Jim Schlossnagle never wins a national title at Texas, that's the ultimate win. Because you went to go chase titles and you still didn't get there.
I think the ultimate, actually, like, well, that is like that would be perfect. And to literally just add a nice little thin layer of like that beautiful, like, crema icing is if he gets any other chances, Tony Vitello still beats him.
That would be kind of the golden standard for me. I think that's just his white whale is trying to get over Tennessee. I'm okay with that. No matter what school he's at. If he's at Texas, if he moves off to somewhere else, doesn't matter.
I hope Tony Vitello moves somewhere and still beats him. That's what
I
I'm
mean,
saying. Like,
yeah.
I hope something, there's another shift where he decides he needs to go somewhere else. Like, he goes to UVA, so Tony Vitello goes to Clemson so he can just beat his brains in conference.
I mean, like I said, that would be kind of the funniest part of this whole situation.
Dude, I'm gonna steal a line from Nuno this morning. Like, I'm petty, bro. Like, I listen to Tom Petty on the way home from work. Let's go. I
I'm
don't care, man.
all
I
petty. All
absolutely.
petty all day.
Well, and it's not, but that's the thing. Like, if you lose a coach that's being petty, the way it all happened, I think the overwhelming majority of the ba college baseball world understands why we're so mad about it and still so mad about it. And anybody that's a true, like, baseball purist, right? With baseball purists, integrity above board, they're the guys that count their own penalties when they're playing golf by themselves, right? Baseball purists are probably rooting for us this weekend, too.
It's kind of what I'm praying for is kind of the reverse Babe Ruth, as it were, right? Babe Ruth gets signed away from Boston and he goes to New York and is just incredibly successful. He gets hired away to Texas and is just, I mean, he's successful, but he just never gets the end goal.
Texas is very rarely going to have a stretch for their baseball program where they're bad. That's just, there's too much talent in the state.
The past decade was odd for them.
Yes.
Now, the past decade was absolutely odd. They have been a very good program. Nobody will deny that.
Yeah, they pull talent. This is, one of them, just like football and baseball, it is a talent-rich state. And so, I don't know. I'm just fired up. I'm ready to go for this weekend. Did we get through all the questions?
That's all the questions, buddy. We
All right.
have powered through it. So,
Thank you for all y'all's questions. I appreciate y'all.
yeah,
Appreciate y'all listening. Appreciate y'all participating.
yeah, and I hope everybody's staying dry out there. I know we just got powered through by this line, but it's moving off. Like, we survived the podcast, really, which, that's all I can say. Whenever this storm was coming in, I was like, oh, we'll see. We even had a couple flickers here, a couple flickers there,
You're
but
gonna need
we're
one of
here.
those, with the patios, the plastic patio set with the chair tipped over. It says, "We survived.
Yeah, we will rebuild.
We will rebuild."
We will
Yeah, there it is.
rebuild. All right. Be sure to follow us on our socials. I'm Rob the Slapper on both Instagram, X, wherever you're looking for me. Be sure to follow Roy May 15 on X, Roy May Jr. on Instagram, as well as the Red Ass Podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, please leave a comment, a like, please subscribe, share with your friends, send it to a Texas fan if you feel like it. I don't care. We're just out here to have a good time. And if you are a Texas fan watching and you left me a nasty comment, it's okay. I forgive you for now. But let's just see
Yeah,
how the rest of the week goes.
if we win the series, we're sorry we beat you twice this week after the Tuesday game too, if you're a Texas fan.
It's fine.
Actually,
Oh.
that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair to Sam.
Yeah, not fair at all. Oh my gosh, Texas is going to have a drone show at our game. Oh. Gotta love that.
That's cute.
We talk about programs with gimmicks. Remember, we were getting made fun of for being a gimmicky program. That's
Oh yeah.
a so oh, seventh inning stretch. Oh, that's incredible. They want to do it during the seventh inning stretch. Please,
What, they
please
don't
do
sing
it.
Deep in the Heart of Texas? See, I told you, like, they're a bunch of commies, man. It's like the Communist Republic of Austin is smack dab in the middle of the state of Texas.
Democratic or People's Republic of Austin.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, the DPRA, man. We got to keep that one on lockdown.
Yeah, it's almost the DERPA.
All right, man. Well, guys, we thank y'all so much for listening in. Once again, thank you so much. Gig'em, beat the hell out of Arkansas and beat the ever-living, ever-loving Compound Complex fighting Texas Aggie 2000 class of 2014. Hell out of TU, guys. Thank you. Take care. Have a great rest of your week.
Okay.